Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today we have two guests from Wednesday at AT&T Park in San Francisco, Giants left-handed reliever Josh Osich and Kelby Tomlinson. We'll start with Josh Osich. Josh, let's talk about the overall season. How much of a learning experience do you think it was this year?
Personally, it was definitely a learning experience. I'm just trying to figure out how to go get some people out. And as a team, I feel like it's hard for a lot of these guys. They're all used to winning every single time. So, yeah, it's definitely a learning experience for all of us. And no one likes to lose, but sometimes it's good for us.
Going back to the individual part of it, what are some of the specific things? I mean, I know you've worked on some different pitches. I remember talking to you before the season started, and you were saying that last year, you really couldn't find the changeup, and you were hoping that you were going to, find that. Do you feel like that's a better pitch for you now?
Yeah, the changeup's back. I started throwing a curveball, so I'm trying to figure that out now. Changed my arm slot a little bit. Not throwing the sinker as much, throwing my four-seamer more, so it's kind of moving a little bit on the rubber, kind of, there's a bunch of things working on.
Well, those are hard to work on during the season, right? I mean, and it's a lot of work, I guess, with Dave Rigetti and Mark Gardner.
Yeah, it's tough because as a bullpen guy, we don't really get, like, bullpens to work on them. We go in the game and you have to just try it out with people swinging against you, and sometimes it goes right and sometimes it doesn't, and for the most part, it hasn't really been going all that well for me, so we're just trying new things and just getting better every day.
How do you keep your confidence level? Because you know you have great stuff and you have the ability to do this, and it's just one of those things where you got to make progress. So, how do you keep your head up?
I just got to look at the positives. You might give up one or two runs an inning, but there might be something that you did right and you figured something out during that inning. And just you got to look at that and just build on that and not look so much at what you did wrong.
You mentioned the part about the team and a lot of the guys being used to winning. So, what kind of challenges are there, second part of the year when, you're far out of first place and you're just trying to grind it out? I mean, you win two out of three against Arizona, try to take a series against the Cubs, won the World Series last year. Are there little positives that you guys try to take?
Definitely when you're taking down some of the better teams in the league and we start playing better ball, that momentum will take us into the next year. And then they'll be like, these guys might have had a bad record for the season, but they played really well at the end of the year, and they showed they can play with the best teams there were that year. So it'll be good for next year, and we just got to keep the momentum going.
How about the experience that the younger guys are getting too? Because some guys are getting to play that normally wouldn't. I mean, and you even see a player who spent a long time in the minor leagues like Moncrief getting a chance. That's got to be pleasing, because that he grinded it out for a long time in the minors.
Yeah, it's awesome to see these guys. I haven't been here that long, but I remember my first game coming up and everything and experiencing it with, we got some superstars on the team, and it's fun to be around these guys. And there's like a family up here, like we all like each other, and so we're not too worried about just outside the game.
Right.
So yeah, it's a good experience for these guys coming up.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, when you got a young guy and he doesn't perform that well right away, I mean, it seems like there's a lot of pressure on him to, to get that going, because then you're going to be sent down to AAA. So how hard is that for the young guy? Because, that first week or two, you might be pressing more than you should be.
Yeah, that's hard. No matter what, if you have options, you can get sent down, so you can't really worry about that much, and you just got to go out there and do your job.
We'll continue the conversation with left-handed pitcher Josh Osich right after this. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential Installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. SunFirst Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect, and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no roof or project that is too complicated. SunFirst has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from SunFirst Solar today. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. You guys lost one of your cohorts here in George Contos. I mean, he was a really good clubhouse guy. I'm sure you guys got to be friendly. Your locker's right next to each other. I mean, how hard is that? Because, I mean, I did see his tweet about how, you know, it was just like the best 6 years of his life being with the San Francisco Giants. It certainly was hard for him. How about you guys?
Yeah, it's tough to see George. We called him the captain of the bullpen. So I was actually just talking to him this morning. He's he enjoyed his first two games over there in Pittsburgh, and It's gonna be a good thing for him. New scenery and everything. Just keep his career going, and everything should be good.
I guess another reminder of kind of like the business of baseball, and you know, you end up checking the box score of a guy, but you know, he's here 1 minute, and the next minute he's gone.
Yeah, that's part of the business side of baseball. You just got to deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you a little bit about Oregon State. I know your experience was really good, and this year they got to the College World Series championship. They didn't finish it off, but they definitely had a great season. I mean, it was pretty much a season for the ages. So how much do you follow it?
I follow them pretty close. I talked to the pitching coach for the most part, Nate Yeske. I talk to him probably like every other week and just keep in touch and see how things are going. They're going to have a good group next year, too, so we'll see how they do.
Yeah, I always wondered about recruiting there because, you know, it's a rainy part of the country, and it would be hard to get players from outside of the Pacific Northwest. But, man, they've done a great job. When they won those back-to-back College World Series, I would think that did a lot for recruiting.
It definitely did. Coach Pat Casey, he's been there for I don't even know how many years now, but he's shown that he can like he puts a good group together every year. No matter if we have the most talent or not, he's going to put a good group together. And then Nate Yeske is a pitching coach, and he's like pitching coach of the year, like 2 or 3 years since he's been there. And so he's got a – and we lead the nation almost every year in pitching. So we know how to get the right guys in there and get everything going.
Yeah, people don't realize if you haven't been to Corvallis, like how much it means to – you know, have the sports there. I mean, you know, people really get into it on a day of a game, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, whatever it is, people are really into it.
Yeah, I think there's like 30 or 40,000 people that live in the little town, and 20 plus are students. So it's pretty cool. When I went to Oregon State, we were the only team in Oregon to have a baseball team. And Oregon got theirs my junior year. So we got most of the Northwest kids out of that area to come to us. And so it was pretty cool to see all the kids just in one little area go and playing in the nation.
Before I let you go, I know Major League Baseball is looking at trying to make some changes to speed up the game. What do you think about it? I mean, you know, one of the things that's talked about is that catchers come out and talk to the pitcher. How valuable is that to you? Because it seems like it really is valuable. A catcher comes out, he kind of can settle things down. I mean, what do you think about that whole thing?
To be honest with you, it has nothing to do with the catcher going and talking or the pitching coach going out there and talking. I'm all for the instant replays and all that. It just takes a long time for them to decide what it's going to be. So I feel like they need to, like, have some quicker way of doing that. And I feel like that's another way to speed up the game and maybe make the strike zone a little bigger. There won't be so many walks and so many runs scored, lots of home runs.
Figures a pitcher would say that, but I did want to, you know, get into your mind of you know, if the pitching coach comes out versus the catcher coming out there. I mean, if you're in a bad mood, you know, things aren't going so well, it's kind of hard sometimes. Guys coming out there like, hey, you know, I really don't want to talk, but sometimes you just have to.
Yeah, it's that's a tough one. I feel like when the catcher comes out or the pitching coach, it's basically the same thing. It's just to slow the game down a little bit. and change the momentum. It's not even like slowing the game down. It's the momentum, trying to stop the momentum and slow you down a little bit, make sure you're good to go for the next hitter, and you might be going over that hitter. You might not have ever seen him, and the catcher might not know him, and you're just talking about him.
All right, well, that sounds like a good reason to continue to have those conversations. Josh, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
That's Giants lefty Josh Osich. Coming up, we'll hear from Kelby Tomlinson in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat before a night game or dinner after a day game, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food. Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Kelby, first off, it's been a really good year for you, especially coming off the bench, not playing every day and still producing. So how'd you prepare yourself maybe in the off season for that, and what's really come to fruition to allow you to have this good year?
I just prepared this last off season just like I do any other off season. I'm, going in ready to play and, trying to be ready to kind of do anything, be ready to play at different positions, be ready to, kind of be ready to be playing every day, be ready to be able to come off the bench, whatever they had. I knew I was kind of up in the air with what kind of role I could end up having. You never know what can happen through spring training. So just make sure I get all my work in to prepare to be the best player I can heading into spring. And then, just trying to play my best and going out there competing every time and hoping for the best.
It's not easy to play the different positions. People don't realize it. And you came up as a shortstop. Maybe that makes it a little easier because, that's one of the tougher positions. But tell us when you move over to third or to second or even to the outfield, which you really hadn't played before, what challenges there are.
Yeah, there's definitely, those challenges, just kind of the situations. I think as far as catching the ball and throwing the ball is not necessarily the difficult part, but understanding what you're supposed to do in certain situations that you haven't been in and try to figure out where to go on this play or this sort of thing. If this happens, this is what we do, kind of knowing that. And each position is going to do different things on different plays. So, hopefully your instincts take over. But, there's kind of a lot of that thinking of head. All right, if this happens, what should I do? Or where should I go? Or where should I throw the ball? What's the score? And all that sort of stuff. Just keeping up with that throughout the game is probably the most difficult part.
On the offensive side, I mentioned, not playing every day. How do you keep your swing going? And it is it's a short swing, so it seems like, for you, there's not a lot that you have to think about because it's just like get to the spot instead of just winding up for a big home run swing.
Right, yeah, keeping it simple and, just doing my daily work every day, trying to, kind of find my swing and, just kind of keep it going and, work on it, make a little adjustments as I go. That's a tough thing when you're not playing every day. You make one adjustment, and by the time you get the next at-bat, you might have a different problem that you might be trying to make a little bit of adjustment. But, the big thing is whenever you get a chance going in there and competing, everything you got, and, that seems to help. Whenever you can compete, you can overcome some of the little errors in your swings when you're locked in the hole at-bat and trying to fight off good pitches and get a good pitch to hit.
What do you think is the key to pinch hitting? Because a lot of times, you're not facing the starter. A lot of times you're coming in late in the game. It's some late inning reliever. Do you watch a lot of video? How do you know about these guys?
Yeah, we got our reports. We got video and scouting. And then, it's you got to get in there and see him a lot of the times. It might look one way, but then you get in there and it's a different way. You just got to, like I said, you got to just go in there and give it your all. I told Ty, I was like, you spend 5 hours preparing for less than 5 minutes, So, you get in there, you got to give it all you got for that little bit that you get. And I think that might be helpful.
I was thinking, you know, that kind of reminds me of golf where you take one swing or, you know, you have a certain amount of swings, but you're thinking about it so much. The mental part of it has to be hard because if you have a base hit in your pinch hitting appearance, you know, you're pretty sky high for about 24 hours. Yeah. But if you strike out, it's got to be difficult.
Yeah, that's the other thing I say. It's you're either 0 for 4 or 4 for 4 every day. But, you know, being able to keep that in check emotionally is also big. So whenever you get in that next game, your next chance, you can't be thinking about the last game and how, you know, you struck out. You got to be able to it doesn't feel good when you go 0 for 1 with a strikeout and that's your whole day, but you know, when you get that next chance, you know, you got to be ready to go and do your best there, maybe try to help the team win in some way.
How much do you think your patience has improved since you've been in the major leagues? Because when you first get up, I mean, all you want to do is impress everybody. But an at-bat does take patience sometimes. You got to make sure you're not swinging at bad pitches.
Yeah, that's definitely key. You know, I think even if your swing comes and goes, if you can swing at the right pitches and not swing at the wrong pitches, then, you know, you're setting yourself up for success. And, you know, it's even more important when you get that one at-bat to be very disciplined and stuff. When you get playing every day, you can be a little more aggressive on a pitch here and there because you know you're going to get another bat, another opportunity. But when you get that one chance, you got to really focus in on your pitch selection.
You know, there's a lot of emphasis right now on home runs in the game of baseball, but you're not the kind of guy who's going to go hit 25, 30 home runs. So do you think that there's really a good place still for players like yourself who are looking to hit a line drive rather than worrying about a launch angle?
Yeah, I mean, There's definitely still a place in it. There's always going to be, I think, a place in it for, you know, speed and guys on base because it makes it more difficult for the pitcher and that sort of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, we still focus on launch angle, just a lower launch angle, you know. So, yeah, I think there's still going to be a place for it.
You know, we saw an inside the park home run the other day from Baez of the Cubs, and you have one of those. Take us through that a little bit. I mean, that's got to be one of the more exciting plays in your career that you'll remember for a long time. You know, when you get to second base, you must realize, hey, I might have a chance at this.
Yeah, those are definitely the most exciting plays in baseball, I think. You know, and they're a lot of fun. Yeah, like you said, when you hit second base, you're thinking you might have a chance, and you just pick up the coach and see if he's going to wave you or not.
Your speed is such a weapon. Did you play other sports where, you know, came into play? Were you a track guy when you were in high school?
Not a track, but I mean, I played all the sports growing up. You know, football, basketball, soccer, baseball, you know, even a little bit of golf here and there. So, or whatever game we could make up in the yard. So, you know, I was always active in all sports growing up.
What'd you play in football? What position?
Wide receiver, cornerback. Yeah, I was a little guy, though.
So how did baseball become the sport that you chose?
I don't know. There was just always a passion about it when I was a kid that, you know, just something was special about it over all the other sports to me.
What was the first thing that you learned about it? Was it your dad who took you out in the backyard, or how did that happen?
Yeah, my dad was a coach. He coached my sister's team, who was 2 years older than me, and so I would go with them to practice. And then, obviously, when I got old enough, I could do, you know, he coached me from Little League for a little while up until I was about in middle school, so... Yeah, my dad would play with me in the yard and stuff. So,
last thing, you know, you spent some time going back and forth between the major leagues and the minor leagues. What did you learn from that experience? We've seen, you know, quite a few guys this year who have been on that same kind of thing where they go back and forth.
You know, it's tough, but, you know, you just got to keep taking it day by day. And, you know, I know you got to realize that, you know, there's a bigger picture to this. You know, there's stuff that's out of your control. And, you know, you got to learn to control what you can control. I can't control what city or what team they put me on. All I can do is how I perform there and what I do, what kind of attitude, what kind of teammate I am there, and focus on that each day. And then, you know, let them handle the rest. And hopefully, you know, what I do there can help me get back here.
Kelby, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. And good luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thank you.
That's Giants infielder, outfielder, Kelby Tomlinson. Want to thank him and Josh Osich for joining us today on Inside China Basin. Join us again on Monday. We'll catch up with John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle as we talk to him from Miami, the Giants on the road trip in Washington and Miami. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.